Anybody here want to get saved right now? Anybody here that's not saved, you don't believe you're right with God, and you want to be right with God, I want you to get up, come meet me right here. Anybody at all? God dealing with anybody, you need to do anything right now. You know, I think God has a great sense of humor and a great deal of irony in what He does. Has it occurred to you that every time a holiday comes and a bunch of our folks are gone, God comes in here in an unbelievable way? I'll tell you what, I believe if I were you, I'd just make my plans to take a holiday sometime other than holidays. Or I'll tell you what's better than that, just take a holiday to come to church. Because there's not anything any better than this. Lori, where are you, sugar? God bless you, darling. It's just like we talked about a year ago, isn't it? Things are happening. But I'll tell you one thing, and I want to say this very lovingly now. I just want to say it as lovingly as I know how, but it's a fact. If you don't plan to live right, you are not going to be comfortable in this church. Now, I'm not proud of that. I wish I could make it comfortable for you, but for me to do that, I got to compromise that book. And I can't do that. I can't do that. Just take that to heart. Take it to heart. Amen. What God has done here today. Well, 1 John chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. The church in the world. I want to take a hard look at that. I want to talk about you, they, and we, the church in the world. Verse 4, are you ready? Say amen. Amen. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And folks, that goes unbelievably in line with what God has set up and structured and sanctified in the emphasis of this service this morning. See, because you're saved, because Christ lives in your heart, because you've been quickened and brought alive by God, you know the difference between right and wrong. You know what is good and you know what is bad. Now, beloved, that ought to make you understand that you are different than people that do not know Jesus Christ. You are different, and the difference is in what God has done in your life. Now, that ought not bring haughtiness. That ought to bring brokenness. You know, as I thought about that part of the introduction of the message, I prayed this week that when I got to that God would have already created the situation as it ought to be. And I want you to know, I started looking up in this choir, and I saw these two guys, and I saw Glenda and two or three others. I saw Marilyn and two or three others just weeping when we were singing a while ago. And I saw you just come unglued. And I just looked around, and I just saw people all over this building just broken in spirit. And I know what it was. It was the awareness of how wonderful Jesus is. The awareness of how glorious it is to be accepted in the Beloved. To understand who you are in Jesus Christ. Now let's get a balance on this. What that ought to do for you is it ought to make you understand what your worth really is. And because of understanding what your worth really is, you ought to just rise above the level of worldliness and the level of licentious living and the level of that which is below the dignity of a child of God. It ought to just make you wear the name Christian with a great deal of joy and zeal. And at the same time, it ought to humble your heart and make you say, oh dear God, I don't know why you would choose me, but you did. And I want to love you, and I want to serve you, and I want to be what you say I am. See, folks, you're going to have to understand. The world system will hurt you. Now, young people, children, young parents, Listen to me. It's too late for me to try to talk to folks old as I am. But I can talk to you kids. Are you kids listening? My summer scribes, get ready now. You're not quite ready to go to work, but practice today. Young people, listen. Young adults, young parents, listen to me. I have coined a phrase that I want you to memorize. Purposed evil. P-U-R-P-O-S-E-D. Not purposeful, purposed. Intentional, that's what I mean by that. Evil. What the world has to offer out there is a deliberate attempt by the devil to hurt you. That's what it's all about. And brother, I want you to know occultism is growing by leaps and bounds. It's unbelievable how strong it is. And morality is now amorality. Right and wrong now is at the level of relativity. It's just according to what you think about it. And the virtue and the verity of righteousness no longer exist as far as that world out there is concerned. And there is a purposed evil in this world. And all you've got to do is watch just a little bit of MTV. Now, I don't recommend watching that garbage except maybe a minute and a half every now and then just to really see what the world's attitude really is. You cannot believe how vile and vulgar and ugly and unbelievable that is. Can you believe that we have gotten to the place that a world can honor with stardom an old wretched witch of a heifer like Madonna? Can you believe that the world will sit her down on talk shows and act like she's somebody? That's as big a piece of trash as I've ever seen in my life. You say, preacher, you ought not criticize folks like that. You start living like that, I'll criticize you. Brother, that's of the devil, that is not of God. And if you've got a bleeding heart for them, you better listen to my message today. You, they, and we. There is a purposed evil out there. Those are the 3 points. You heard them. You, they, we. Now let me talk about you. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are of God. Let that sink in. You are of God. Do you understand that with all of that singing, that with all of that praying, with all of this weeping and rejoicing, with all of the feelings that we have had today, there is one reason and only one reason why it is like that. And that simply is because you are of God. Beloved, you need to know more than you know anything else what is the plan and the purpose of God's salvation. You need to understand that more than anything else on the face of this earth. Why do you suppose it is that people are being saved? Well, let me tell you what an Arminian approach to the gospel has done. Let me tell you what overzealous preachers have done. Let me tell you what unlearned theologians have done. They have created a mindset among the people of the church that God is obligated to save folks. That it was God's responsibility to set up a plan of salvation whereby men who wanted it could come and escape the judgment to come and the wrath of God. There is an unspoken attitude among the overwhelming abundance of people today who go to church that God was obligated to do that. Well, I got news for you. God does not owe anybody one thing. God is not obligated to look your way. God is not obligated to listen to you when you pray. He's not obligated to love you. He's not obligated to forgive you your sin. He is not obligated to do one thing about Adam and Eve's sinfulness. But he has, and the only reason he did it is in order that in ages to come, he could gather unto himself a people that would be the evidential proof of his infinite love. That's why God did that. And all in the world that God is doing now is calling out those he chooses to be the recipient of his mercy and his grace. And if you're sitting here right now and you're not a Christian and you have no desire for the things of God, that is no reproach to God. That is no threat to God. That does not bug and bother God one bit. It better bug and bother you, Buster. Because if you don't have any interest for the things of God, that means the Holy Spirit is not dealing with you. And if the Holy Spirit is not dealing with you, it may mean that you are not one of the chosen. But bless God, if you're sitting here and you've already been drawn to Calvary, if you've already embraced the cross, if you've already received Christ, if you've already embraced that love, you can sing with David, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, folks, God's purpose in salvation is to call out from among a rebellious, lost, decadent, God-rejecting, God-hating society, a group of people that He will change, that He will make a difference in. All things will pass away. All things will become new. They will be born into a new virtue. It will be the work of a holy and a sovereign God. And here's what happens when somebody gets saved. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you being of God. There you were. Hear it again and rejoice. There you were in your sin, dead, according to the Bible. According to the Bible, unable to understand. According to the Bible, never doing anything good. According to the Bible, not one thing in you righteous. According to the Bible, never seeking after God. Do you understand the Bible says that? That none doeth good, none seek after God, none understands, none are righteous. That's what the Bible says. Beloved, if you ever get it through your head, what is the condition of a lost man? You will not have any trouble understanding that the only way that guy's going to get saved is for God, of God's own will, and not because he was requested to, and not because he was obligated to, but God, just because he wants to do it, just steps into that man's life and says, "You are mine, the devil can't have you," and cuts the shackles of sin loose and makes you a child of God. That's how you got saved. You are the children of God, and you're the child of God totally by the action of God. You say, but Sam, a man has to make a choice. I beg your pardon. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that man makes a choice. The choice was made by God. You say, but man has a will. He's dead. How can he? And if he did, according to Genesis, God prescribed an everlasting judgment on him that his will would be to do evil continually. You better thank God that a sinner doesn't have a will. You better thank God that it's not left up to the sinner to make a choice. You better thank God that it is infinite plan. He did something that transcended the lostness and the damnation of your life. You say, well, preacher, why should I be glad? Because if God had left it up to you, you'd have never come. You'd have never sought him. You'd have never repented. You'd have never got saved. You say, but preacher, I came to God. Well, yeah, you came because you had a hook in your nose. That's why you came to God. You came to God because he had stirred you and he had quickened you and had brought you to life in Jesus Christ. Now, brother, you are the children of God. And the plan and purpose of God is that according to his own pleasure, he would produce a bride for Jesus Christ, that one of these days, that holy communion between they, you, and them would be eternal and everlasting. You're of God. And because of that, you're children. You're children. Now, can you imagine that? Let that sink in. You are a child of God. What is there that you would not do for your children? We always talk about what we'd do for our kids. What is there you would not do? I walked in that house yesterday, and there was my little grandbaby on the couch. Hardly able to talk, her body so hot that I could feel it when I got my hands close to her. And I took her in my arms and I said, "You want Papa to pray for you?" She said, "Yes." And I prayed for her. And I turned her loose and I went into that bedroom and there was Nola. on that bed so sick she could not lift her head. And I knelt down beside her and gathered her up in my arms. And I prayed for her both as her father and as her pastor. And I came against the spirit of infirmity. And I want you to know, I promise you, if I could take those kids' sicknesses into my body, I would do it right now. Wouldn't you? What would you do for your children? Well, now let me tell you something, folks. The only reason I'm able to love like that is because of Christ. See, that's not a fleshly emotion. That's not a feeling of fatherliness. That's God working through me. And do you realize how little of God I have? Do you understand how little of me God has? And if I'm able to love my children like that, and if you're able to love your children like that, you just stop and think how much God must love you. Don't you ever think that you're no longer loved. I hope I'm not violating anybody's privilege right now, but I've prayed earnestly about this, and I feel like I can share it. Brother Lynn Hill, meeting with those deacons yesterday with tears running down his face, he was asked very uglily why he did what he did. And he very lovingly said back, God has taught me that I cannot look to my wife or to any other man to satisfy my emotional need of being loved. He said, I have learned that the only place I can find full satisfaction about being loved is at the throne room of God. And folks, he's exactly right. Brother, you can be rejected by the world. You can be turned out by your daddy. You can be abused by your daddy. You can be sexually abused by your own father. You can be ignored by your husband. You can be browbeat by your husband. And some of you women are sitting here right now, and your husbands have left you and said awful things to you when he left, and you're under all sorts of feelings of guilt and failure. But I want to tell you one thing. I don't care what your circumstance is now. You are the children of God. And don't you ever forget it. And he will be a father to you. He will be a husband to you. He will be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will never fail you. And I don't care what's happened in your life, and it does not matter. You are a child of God, and that gives you position. That gives you privilege, and that also gives you provision. I'm so glad God led Jim Lee to pray. Y'all probably can't remember it. I don't expect you to, but I can't forget it, how that his prayer fits right in with what I'm preaching today, as did your song and everything else God does. When he does something, he does it right. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. As a child of God, you have position, privilege, and provision. And then we're overcomers. You are an overcomer. Now, I'm going to talk about that entirely tonight. I'm going to deal with greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But that means you have a power. That means that you have a protection. And that means you can find a pleasure through Jesus Christ. Tell me the truth. Are you really happy? Or are you just right on the razor's edge of being miserable? Tell me the truth. What kind of life are you living? Are you living a life of continual rejoicing? Are you really just suffering with satisfaction? Or do you have to admit it? Some days you're glad, some days you're sad. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Sometimes you're thrilled to death with everything around you, and sometimes it just aggravates the daylights out of you. Sometimes you think your wife is the sweetest thing in the world, and you could eat her up, and 3 hours later you wish you had. What kind of life are you really living? Now just blot out everybody else and get honest. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're not living the life of continual rejoicing, if you are not living a life of constant victory, if you are not walking in this joy of the Lord, regardless of what has happened to you, you do not understand greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And brother, you may think that you're just a victim of circumstances. You may think that what's happening to you is just something that was unavoidable. And it's so because of where I work or who I married or who my mom and dad is or what I've had to go through. I mean, I'm living like I'm living because of circumstances. Oh, no. No, you're living like you're living because you have never committed yourself to Christ as Lord. Because you have never taken unto you the whole armor of God. Because you have not died to yourself. Because you're not trying to please Jesus with your attitude and your intent in life. You are missing out on the blessing of God. You are the children of God. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Whatever is in this world has got you upset. There's something wrong. You. Now let's look at they. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now, folks, you've got to understand what lost people are by nature. I've had preachers want to argue with me about this until I ask them to explain the Scripture. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, if you don't have a big circle around these Scriptures, and if you've not made up your mind about the condition of a lost man, you better read these Scriptures like you never have read them before in your life. Ephesians chapter 2. Are you ready? Say amen.
Amen.
And you hath he quickened. What does quickened mean? Made alive. You hath he made alive. Now he's going to describe what you were like. And this is the way all sinners are, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past, or when you were dead in your sins, you walked according to the course of this world. Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? I say that's pretty clear, isn't it? You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? Satan, the devil. According to the prince of the power of the air. Now watch this next phrase. The spirit, what's that? Demons. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Who are the children of disobedience, David? Lost people. Now the spirit of the devil is working in those people. Do you know what that word worketh is? The Greek word is energo. What word can you hear coming out of that? What? Say it, Ron.
Energy.
Energo. Energy. What Paul is saying is this, the energy, are y'all listening to me? The energy that a lost man has comes from the devil. And the devil dispenses it through a spirit. Now, people want to argue with me about this, but I'm telling you, lost people are demon-possessed. And they are demon-possessed because of that spirit that controls them. According to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Watch verse 3. Among whom also we all, it's past tense now, hallelujah, that's shouting ground. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Among whom also we all had our conversation. The word conversation means lifestyle. Among whom also we all one day had our lifestyle in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Watch it now. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We used to be just like them. And my dear friend, if you've not been converted, if you're not a child of God, I'm telling you, by your very nature, you are a child of the devil. And until you get saved, you are consigned to a devil's hell, and the only hope of you making it to heaven is for you to publicly humble yourself, repent of your sins, and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I'm telling you, if there is an awareness in your mind right now that you're lost, that you need to get saved, remember Paul said that in your mind you belong to the devil. So if you in your mind have got an idea, maybe I'm not really saved, that means God Almighty has stepped into your mind and kicked a demon out of the way and made you understand that you're not saved. That's exactly what has happened. You are by nature a child of hell. And because of that, your speech is worldly. People that are lost talk about the world. People that are lost have language that's vile, vulgar, and vain. Vile, vulgar, and vain. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You've got to get serious over what you like to talk about. It's amazing to me that church people can freely talk about style, fashion, picture shows, neighbors, ball teams, vacations, cars, houses, sewing, cooking, golf, baseball, football. Talk about all of those things freely, but get all tongue-tied when it comes to talking about the Lord. You better understand that the Word of God teaches us that the words that come out of our mouth is the revelation of what is in our heart. And not only does the Bible say that a saved man has godly conversation, and by that word now I mean literally what you talk about, but a lost man has nothing but vile, vain, vulgar language in his life. And you don't have to be a curser in order to have vile, vain, and vulgar language, brother. What you talk about reveals what you are most interested in. And they out there are not interested in what's going on in here.
That's right. Amen.
Brother, you can go out of here today and go to your favorite restaurant and walk up to a table full of folks that you know and they know you, and you try to talk to them about what God has done here today, and they are not going to understand it. Have you ever tried to tell somebody about how good a service was and they look at you with kind of a dog-killing grin and say, well, that's nice. They can't help it. They're lost. They don't have the Holy Spirit in their heart. But see, let me tell you what happens when Gary leaves here today and he stops off at a restaurant and there's somebody of kindred faith. He too has Christ living in him. And he's been over at First Southern. And God is blessed over at First Southern or First Moore. God is blessed. Over at Southern Hills, God has blessed. And old Gary said, man, we had a great service today. And his eyes light up and he said, whoo, we did too. Tell me about yours and I'll tell you about mine. Kindredness.
Amen.
You in the world described as they don't understand one thing about that. We don't expect you to. Nor does God expect you to. But I'm telling you, people that talk about the world and love the world, the love of God is not in him. They hear each other. That's all they hear, is they hear each other. Now, beloved, you better be careful about the pursuit of public approval.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, you better be careful about it. In fact, just turn to John 15. Let me show you something. I don't know how far I'll read, but just turn to John 15. The Gospel of John. I'm going to start reading in verse 16. Someday when I've got 2 or 3 hours, I'm going to preach on verse 16. Now look at verse 16. John 15, 16. Are you ready? Say amen.
Amen.
You have not chosen me. I don't settle that. How come folks won't argue with that? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now watch it. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world, now listen, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, how can that be any more clear? Now, go back to my introduction. That ought to make you rise a level above your former or present lifestyle, but at the same time, it ought to humble you. Don't get arrogant and cocky, and don't develop a holier-than-thou attitude, and don't look down a self-righteous nose at somebody who is not a church person. You ought to be humbled by the fact that it is God in His purpose and plan that chose you and ordained you and made you what you are, a dead sinner who is alive in Jesus Christ with a whole different attitude about living. God did that for you. But by the same token, you've got to understand what they out there in this world are like. And beloved, don't vie, V-I-E, don't vie for public approval. You cannot believe how it distresses me when I find out that one of you young mothers are concerned about your little girl getting elected a cheerleader, or being left out of the dance, or being left out of the party, or not having a modern bathing suit. If you want to make her one, hey, I got a handkerchief. You don't need but half of it, just make her one. It's going to get worse than that too, because the world doesn't care what you think about it. But brother, I mean to tell you, we are raising our families in a world that has a purposed evil. And they are not out there to make your kid a better kid. They are out there to trick you into thinking that if your kid gets the approval of public opinion, then that's going to make them a better person. Nope, it's going to damn them to destruction is what it's going to do. They out there are not friends of God. And the Bible said you having friendship with the world is enmity with God. All right, let's move on. We've talked about you, they. Now let me talk about we and I'll be through. We are of God. Look at verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Now folks, I'm not going to be arrogant about this. And I'm going to do my best to not be pompous and for sure to not be judgmental. But I want to tell you something. God has revealed to me the truth. And I am preaching truth from this pulpit. And if you ever hear me preach something that is not truth, bring your Bible and show me. And I'll receive you and I will listen. But I'm telling you, when I preach to you biblical truth and you don't hear it, it's a pretty good sign you're not of God. And I make that clear, elders? Is that a good statement, men? Can you go with that? And now correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, bring me the Bible and show me, and I'll correct myself. But if I preach to you the truth and you don't hear it, John said you're not of God. He that is of God heareth us. You can apply the same thing to your Sunday school class, fellas, girls. You can apply the same thing to your friends. You put two people together that are saved and they both are going to like the same stuff. You say, well, there can be, how does the convention put it, unity and diversity? When are we going to quit trying to invalidate the Bible? The theme of the trouble in the Southern Baptist Convention is unity and diversity. And the Word of God plainly says, how shall two walk together except they be agreed? Now, folks, when two or more people disagree, somebody's wrong, everybody's wrong, one or the other. God doesn't vote yes and no on the same issue. Somebody's wrong, everybody's wrong. Now, that's what John is concluding. Do you hear what John is saying to those folks? John is saying, I know you're out there in that world, and I know they're unleashing hell on you, and I know you're suffering. They're talking about one thing, and they won't listen to what you talk about. And the only people that listen to what you talk about are those people that talk about the same thing you talk about. He said, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. The world's going to talk to each other. The church ought to talk to each other. And you ought to get together and know that you're the children of God and know that you're saved, because they out there that talk about vile, vulgar, and vain things cannot overcome you, but you overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Is that as clear to you as it is to me? See, we are of God, corporate, complete, and confirmed. Not only are we of God, but we hear. Brother, I want you to know our concepts come from God. Our communication with one another comes from God. And it's all conditional upon knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And then he says, we know. Oh, that's such a good word. Hereby, look at the last phrase in verse 6. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Hereby we know it. Oh my. Truth brings triumph. Now you listen to what I'm going to say in closing now. If you don't triumph through truth, there's nothing left for you but tragedy. You may be getting tired of hearing it, folks, but you got to do right. Now you got to do right. You can't do wrong in your marriage without tragedy. You can't do wrong toward your parents' kids without asking for tragedy. You can't do wrong on your job without asking for tragedy. You can't do wrong anywhere and get away with it. It won't work. You've got to do right. We're in this world, but we're not of it. You, they, and we. Now here's the beautiful part of that. Starts out with you all alone against them. And it winds up all of us together ignoring them. And we need each other. Amen? And we need to love each other and stand together as a corporate body of believers, all of whom have the common experience of Christ being Lord and love Him as such. Everybody come to the instruments. Dale, get your mic and let's stand and sing, He is Lord.